7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 37 of Color of Magic, your gaming podcast where we try to raise the profile of people of color and other people who just don't get the face time they deserve. Or I guess in this case, ear time. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and as always, I've got my trusty sidekick, Brian Allen, with me. How are you doing, dude?
We're making it. As y'all probably seen, Texas's numbers are not good, but everywhere I've been around town, I see people wearing masks. So in my community, people are listening. I can't speak the rest of Texas.
At least y'all are trying, man. Like I feel lucky. I would say it's about 60% mask out in my part of the world, and at least all the old people are wearing masks, so they're at least taking care of themselves. So I can't complain too much. But the first thing we got to do, first order of business, we have some thank yous to hand out. We have had a lot of people. First off, let me say thank you to everybody who's been sharing our podcast, talking about it, tweeting about it. You know, people that have been coming to our streams, that's been awesome.
Yes.
I think both of our stream numbers have been up. I've got a lot of people follow me over on YouTube. But particularly the people that have donated to our Patreon, you know, I know we had a lot of names last week. We have even more this week. So hold on for a second, because I got quite a few names I got to read here. But thanks to all of these people: Brian Keller, Luke Galbraith, Adam Klesch, Vorthos Mike, Arthur Mann, Ernesto Medina, Alexis, William Reynolds, Rivendell 1971, Jeff Stumpo, Carlton Parsons, Matthew Holocue, Andy Bentley, Scott Stearns, Mark Fillmore, and a couple of other people that also increased their pledge from $2 to $5. Thank you so very much.
We love you guys and gals.
Like next, I guess in 2 weeks or so, whenever it processes, I'm actually going to be able to pay Brian real money this month. It's going to be awesome.
Oh my God. I don't know how to act. And now I think about it, I've literally been told I don't know how to act. That's apparently not an exaggeration on my part.
Yeah, we can get to that too. We have a lot of things to cover this week. So there's a lot of obviously social issues going on around gaming and around Magic. So we're going to touch on that this week. And, you know, we're going to catch up on some stuff from last week, because I hear you have an update on some interesting things that went on with your stream.
I do.
Yeah, and then we have some news to share as we get through the back end of this stuff. So a lot of things happening. So to dive right into it, I'm not even going to fire the people up today on the soapbox. I'm going to let the crowd just be mellow today. And one of the things I want to talk about is kind of an undiscussed stress right now that people of color, and particularly Black people, are dealing with right now in the, to some point public spaces, but for sure in the content creation spaces. Because one of the things I don't think people have processed really is, and I will use myself as an example here. Like, I've made myself available to everyone. If you need somebody to just be a consultant on something, if you want to talk about people of color in the game industry, if you need somebody to have on a podcast or a web show, my DMs and messages are open. And I've had a lot of people take me up on it, highly appreciative. And I'm going to continue to do that. One of the things, though, and I had this discussion with somebody else earlier, actually, that there's an underlying thing there of a lot of us have been doing the same things we've been doing for months, or in some cases, years. But here in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, there's been a huge upsurge in our content or people sharing it or contributing to it. And part of that, you kind of have to live with, the only reason this happened is because a dude died. Because literally millions of people across the world took to the streets. And that's a weird feeling. because you don't know how much is genuine. Like, how much are people just making themselves feel better in the moment out of guilt? How many of them really appreciate what you're doing? You know, the biggest thing is, how long is it going to last? Like, for all we know, a bunch of people who have all of a sudden donated to our Patreon, we don't know if it's because they love it and they just discovered it, or maybe they listened to it and they felt guilty they hadn't contributed to it, and then in 3 weeks, they decide to quit donating. I'm not saying that's likely, but it's a thing that could happen, right? Because we don't know. And that comes with everything. Like, even now, I'm doubling down on every bit of content. Like, I'm trying to put out more videos, trying to increase the quality of my streams. I'm trying to write more articles. Like, while I have people paying attention, I have to push even harder to make sure I'm taking advantage of the moment. Like I said, one, because people just, you know, while people are paying attention, I got to grab their attention and hope they stay around for the long haul. But the other half is, you're kind of walking around with this guilt that you can't waste the moment, because otherwise somebody's death means nothing. And that's a weird place to be, because I'm generally a trusting person. So when people come forward and say, yeah, you know, I like what you're doing, this is awesome. And there's some people we'll talk about later that are doing some good things and wanting to collaborate. So that's awesome. But it can be a little hard too. And this isn't a case of like imposter syndrome. It's not that like I don't think I'm good enough or that my content's not good enough. Like, in some cases, I think the opposite, really. So it's not that. But it is a reality. And I don't think it's something we've really talked about a lot. I don't think it's something that's been shared a lot on social media, right? Even with all this going on, when you're reaching out to all these people and getting them to be involved in your projects or whatever, they want to be. And we want to be invited to the table. And we want to share all our ideas. But, you know, until it becomes normal and it becomes a part of everyday life, that's something we're going to have to live with. So, not really to be a downer, it's just something I think people need to be aware of, because it's something I'm seeing in conversations regularly with other Black creators. You know, even earlier, like I said, the middle of the conversation, the woman I was speaking to was just like, man, you know what feels bad? Like, just knowing, like, if I don't do this, I'm wasting a moment in time where somebody died for me to have this opportunity. And I was just like, yeah, I feel it. Like, I've been through the same thing in the last couple of weeks. So just something to think about. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what you do with that information. I just want people to know what's out there. But let's get to a little bit more of a dramatic situation. And I'll let you take over from here, Brian. And we talk about, what did we learn last? This is kind of what happened last week.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, you know, as a former journalist, I feel compelled, you know, to give updates when I tell you about something that's happening. Plus, again, thank you to everybody for the support, because some people that were in my stream, because they are fans of Color of Magic, saw the incident. So it's out there. I can't hide it. I also feel the need to apologize, because, you know, I forget what the term is in the military when you say, like, okay, if you're the leader, it falls on you, regardless of whether you did it or not. But my former moderator, who, you know, talked about last week, we kind of had a falling out because of our political differences, but she came into the stream Monday and just went on a rant in front of several people. I think, according to my numbers, about 40 or 50 people came through during the course of my stream Monday, and yeah, they got a whole dose of Twitch drama, to put it mildly. So again, I want to thank everybody for the support that came through, because I saw multiple people in there that said, you know, they know me for the podcast and are fans of the podcast. Although a couple of people told me they enjoyed the soap opera, so that doesn't happen ordinarily, I promise you. But
man, okay. Like, we tried to be professional last week.
We did. We absolutely did. I didn't say anything that would identify my former moderator, and then she came in and basically identified herself and, you know, screamed, well, as it's Twitch, you know, text screamed about how could you unmod me? So, okay, at that point, she's identified herself.
I just don't even, like, man, and I try to keep a clean show, but there are so many things I just want to say right now.
I get it. There, I was, and again, I'm in the middle of the stream trying to play Overwatch. By the way, until this happened, I was having one of the best games of Overwatch I have ever played. I went 25-0, and I was playing a tank. I was in the zone, and all of this happened. So again, I guess, you know, from a viewership standpoint, it made for great television or whatever, but it was.
I just don't understand. Like, who, like, how much, man, I just have so many thoughts. Like if you, how angry do you have to be to show up while somebody is live and then just start bad mouthing somebody and, pardon my French, but just showing your whole ass to the public? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
What's going on with somebody like that? I guess if the events of the past couple of weeks, it'd be wrong to say that I'm shocked, but I just thought she would, obviously, since I made her a moderator, I thought she was more professional than that. And as I said, I wouldn't, you know, I still haven't said any of her tags on our podcast, but she, you know, the video is still out there. I think Twitch did delete them for, do you know how long it is before Twitch takes your videos down?
I think it's 14 days unless you're an affiliate or partner, then it's 30 days.
Yeah. So yeah,
unless you turn it into like a highlight or something else.
Which I have no intention of doing. So yeah, I'm not telling you anything that 40 people didn't already see.
Like, here's the thing, right? We talked about it off the air a little bit, but imagine if I saw somebody and I knew they had connections to the Klan, neo-Nazis, whatever, that I disagreed with, right? At any point, am I going to look at that and be like, you know, but damn, they play some of the sweetest decks in Magic. Like, I'm going to be a mod for this person. Like, if she just fundamentally disagreed with you, like, what's the thinking or the motivation there to begin with?
And in fairness, we had really never talked politics for the most part until the world lit on fire, basically.
But there's no politics. Like, you are black. You look it. She knows it. She sees you on camera.
Yeah, she's well aware.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. It's not like this is something that was hidden that she didn't know. Not that you were like, I don't, maybe biracial and don't present black or something, and now she's stunned. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, stream isn't, you know, I mean, well, I think at this point we can say, yeah, y'all are family here. Y'all know me. So even though I don't, you know, necessarily talk politics while I'm playing Madden, I feel like my personality comes out, and I felt like she should have some idea as to my political leanings, but apparently, no, not so much. Just all of this shocked her, and her political leanings shocked me.
Man. Well, I guess, obviously, she's booted and gone. I'm assuming banned from your stream. So, kind of, where are things at now with that? Have you gotten a new moderator, or what's going on?
I want to thank people for support. I've had so many people reach out to me over the past week. So I'm talking to a couple of people and just trying to figure out how we can make schedules work. So definitely, I think I'm going to get somebody, and it's going to more likely be somebody from our Color of Magic community. So again, thank all of you guys for your help during this very trying time. I just, you know, because we've had to talk a lot about some of the bad stuff in the gaming community, but I have seen so much of the good. So many people have just reached out to me and helped guide me through this. That's why I'm here. That's why I play Magic and some of the other games I play, because the majority of the interaction that I have on a daily basis is good interaction. And that's not to say there aren't some absolute jerk faces. I apparently, you know, have been working pretty closely with a few of them and didn't realize it. But.
Well, I have some other interesting things, and it was hard for me to decide what I wanted to talk about today in this segment, because in the last 24 hours, there was all kinds of news that came my way.
Yes.
The first was that for those of you that saw or didn't see, there was, we will put in air quotes, you can't see, an officer who went through a drive-thru and apparently had a breakdown because they forgot her food or it was slow and she had to pull up and they brought her out her drink first instead of her food. And that was just a whole weird scene. And honestly, to me, that's one of the most damn American things that happens to anybody. We've all had that happen at a drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't new. So, honestly, would they have mistreated her because she was a cop? Like, I don't know. Maybe. It depends on what neighborhood. I have no idea. But probably not, because that just happens at McDonald's. But the story gets infinitely better, because I will read you this post that was put up by the Richmond Hill Police Department about 2 hours ago from this recording. We have received multiple phone calls and messages about a video that was posted by a female officer complaining about her service at a local restaurant. This officer in the video does not work for nor represents the Richmond Hill Police Department. We have contacted the agency she works for and have passed along our concerns. You got Officer Karens out here now.
Wow. And that's a very excellent, well-written press release, too, where they drag her without really dragging her.
Yeah, like, for real. So that was news. And then that came shortly after some cops being upset because three of them got sick after drinking some milkshakes or something. And they wanted to investigate like the Shake Shack to see if they did something to their food. Turns out Shake Shack's legit. They're clean. Nothing happened. Whatever. And like, which is crazy because they're not investigating. Well, there are some other murders, we'll call them, that need to be investigated right now. But we're going after milkshakes at Shake Shack.
And I can't remember who said it on Twitter, but it was the best line I saw about all of this, where they said the problem is not, you know, why are we investigating Shake Shack? The problem is like, why are three grown ass men drinking 32 ounces of milk, cream, and sugar and expecting to not get sick?
Well, that's also totally fair. But then somebody shared this, and I can't remember who it was, but it's one of the people who's very active on Twitter, I remember. But anyway, they were sharing this picture. I don't know if there's, you've heard of Barney, right? The kids show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently, I got three kids. I'm intimately familiar.
Well, then, see, you might know about this other character I got introduced to called Hip Hop Harry.
No.
Apparently,
I'm familiar with Hip Hop Harry.
Hip Hop Harry is also played by the same guy that plays Barney. And that dude can dance. He kills it.
I remember hearing somewhere that Barney was actually a professional dancer.
Oh, see, that explains it. But anyway, I was thinking, that dude, he's going to be one of the most famous dudes, and nobody's going to even recognize him on the street. He's got a good life.
Yeah.
But then I had a friend point out, that remember that post I told you about a couple of weeks ago that I had get almost 70,000 responses or whatever it was, 67,000?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the comedian and actor Amanda Seales?
I have.
She has a podcast called Small Doses.
Okay.
And they were discussing my post over there.
Wow.
So when people ask, like, does this stuff resonate? You know, people of that caliber are having discussions around that. Like, so these aren't things that just I'm recognizing or people in our communities are recognizing, like, these are large issues. These are issues that people are dealing with everywhere.
So what I learned is I've hitched myself to the right wagon.
Maybe. Just good timing. That's all I can say. But there are some people doing lots of good things. There's lots of good conversations happening. And I want to at least keep moving that forward. So we have a segment dedicated to that later this episode where we're going to cover some of that. But for starters, let's talk about the Players Tour Online. We did Players Tour Online 1 and 2 last weekend. And the reason these are done this way, for people that don't know, is normally there would be regional players tour events, and you would go to one of these locations in your region. So there would have been one in, say, the Americas, there'd been one in Europe, there'd be one in Asia, and people would go to the closest one, most likely. Obviously, we can't do that right now, because hell, some places you can't even fly at all. Like, the borders are just closed in Australia. So you have to figure out a way so these people can still participate and kind of keep organized play moving forward. Part of those changes involved having these events online where people could participate, and they have staggered started times. They have staggered starting times.
It's a bit of a tongue twister.
Yeah, so that way people can play in the time zones that make sense for them. So you ended up kind of with this like 24-hour coverage for a bit, while you had day one kind of overlapping and moving into day two as the other day one was finishing. And like, it was kind of interesting how it had to be pulled off. But it seemed to work. The field, however, was dominated by a lot of Wilderness Reclamation decks, which were kind of boring to watch play each other. And some Sacrifice decks. There were some others in like the top 16, 32, you know, but the top eight wasn't a lot to speak of, unfortunately. But the problem, really, there's two problems there, actually. The first problem I'll say that came up was we had some women do very well. And people seem to take the move that they've done before, where some of the, we'll call them the grognards, like the old guard, that like things that aren't the way they used to be and not the same way I want them to be or whatever, and just taking shots at people. Well, this doesn't really count because it wasn't like a real pro tour thing and it was lesser than a Grand Prix. So I don't know if this should be counted as a real top eight. And we're, you know what? These people still beat hundreds of other people. Hell, depending on where they were playing from, stayed up overnight to do it and still got paid. So,
and by the way, if the people complaining about this had the same performance, they'd want it to be shouted from the rooftops.
Oh, no doubt.
They'd be selling t-shirts and the whole nine yards.
And the thing I want to say about that is, like, if you want to raise your game, the profile of your game, you want more people to play it, you want more people to be happy about it, celebrate all that crap with everybody. Like, I had somebody the other day came into my stream and they were like, man, I made platinum for the first time in Arena. And I was like, sweet. And we just talked about like what deck and asked him, you know, how long it took him and stuff like that and celebrated it with him. So what? It's not mythic. Like, big deal for them. It's their first time to like cross that threshold. It's the same way when I've been playing at FNMs and somebody gets their first 3-1 or 4-0 and gets a prize. Like, that's a big deal for them. Let them celebrate it. Yeah, I don't sit there and be like, well, you know, I win at least like 2 FNMs a month. Like, whatever.
Yeah,
like, that's the first time for them.
Any other reaction to that is just not helpful for the game.
It's really not. I don't even know where people, like, what is your superior? Like, and I will say this, too. I've also seen some people try to talk some trash that they ain't a whole lot of themselves either. So, you know, some people, I think, need to watch it because they, you know, they're... The windows on their glass houses are real thin. That's all. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying. But you know the type of people I'm talking about.
For those of you that know Daquan, that's the sick bird from Daquan right there.
Oh, if people knew who if you know, you know. Like, I'll just say that. The other thing that I want to address, because of something I'm going to say in the next segment. Man, commentary got dragged. For real. And honestly, I wouldn't even say it's just a commentary. I want to say just a presentation. And it's weird because I don't know who all was involved behind the scenes. I know when we did the Battle Against Racism tournament 2 weeks ago, Athena was helping orchestrate all the stuff behind the scenes. And that was the first time I worked with Athena. And she was spectacular. Like, all the people behind the scenes. Like, seriously, I have people reaching out going, oh, your commentary was so good, and this, that, and the other. And I was like, man, the people I was working with made it easy. Like, they really did. And the presentation of the tournament was great. So I don't know what happened or what was going on with Wizards production last week, or, well, the production company they work with, because that's a good chance it wasn't actual Wizards employees. So, like, I don't really know the details there, but there was a lot of times where they seemed to have had issues, like, getting the tournaments brought up for visuals, and then a couple times they were, like, cutting out. And then the hard part was you had some commentators that sounded like they were just using the microphone on their laptops. And it was like it was kind of low and kind of echoey. And you know, I'll be honest, like I had it on in the background while I was cleaning, and a couple times I just turned it down or turned it off.
Yeah.
Because we all know the first thing about any type of production you're going to do. You could have bad visual. You can't have bad audio.
Preach.
Like anybody will tell you, like you can be watching a news report and things will be going in and out. But as long as you can hear the person, you'll wait it out and see if they can get it fixed. Hell, there's people on YouTube that are just old people on a farm talking about a thing with a crappy camera that they bought like 8 years ago. But you know what? They got 200,000 subscribers because people can hear them. So, yeah, so that was the hardest part.
And, you know, as somebody that, as I mentioned, just about every podcast has been in show business for a while. If you're, you know, when anything goes off, like an event like this, when it goes off right, it's a total team effort. And people, you know, there are so many people that won't get any credit when everything goes off. But for it to fall apart, only one thing in the chain needs to go wrong somewhere. And you're getting dragged on podcasts the next week. It is so fragile.
And that's why I'm not trying to call out the different commentators or anything, because to me, that's a whole situation thing. And you don't know whose fault it is, who dropped the ball, who didn't notify somebody. Like, I would like to hope in the future that either the production company either buys microphones or you allocate money for them, the individual commentators, to go get their microphone or whatever it is.
I don't know what's happening right now exactly.
Oh, was that a smoke alarm going off in your place?
Yeah. I guess I need to check on that.
Well, it's all right. I'll keep people entertained till you get back. But yeah, so like it's just a tough thing, right? That you don't know. And the thing, I don't even know. It's not even like trying to pass blame. You know, not saying like whose fault it is or whatever. Because the real difference is you can almost tell who had podcasts or who had web shows or whatever, because they just sounded better. Like if you're talking about like Maria Bartholdi, sounded great. You know, you had like Marshall, sounded great. You know, Riley, sounded great. But these, you're talking about all the ones that actually do something else with audio video for a living. So it kind of made sense. And then, you know, the other issue people kept pointing out was like, oh man, y'all don't have any people of color in your broadcasts. And that, you know, that is a real complaint when you look and see the picture they showed had, I don't know, I think 10 personalities on it, and you didn't really see a person of color.
My house is not on fire, can confirm.
Fantastic. But yeah, so people complaining that Wizards team, commentary team, didn't have people of color was a real complaint. However, I think people, again, this kind of comes to the other conversation we've been having. It's like, I feel like things you set in motion prior to June 1st, I'm kind of willing to cut a little bit of slack out of just blind spots, ignorance, whatever. And not just with Wizards. I'm just saying this with other personalities, other companies, places I shop. And again, I think we talked about this last week. This is a personal perspective. I understand if everybody feels differently. But for me, it's about what are you doing from that point forward? And in that case, like, I get it. You already had your stuff lined up. You already had your company send out contracts. You're already working with your lined up commentary teams or whatever. Fine. And truthfully, if at that point they would have tried to get a person of color, you end up in this weird situation, because if you can't get the exact person or two you want, then you're just kind of choosing your third or fourth option and you're just filling it for a quota. And then you get a person of color or a black person on there just to say you had one, even though they're not great. And it's like, it's just weird for everybody. I don't think that's what you want. Now, That said, I did have a few people reach out because I did post on Saturday night after going back and forth and finishing some discussions with their, I guess we'll call it the production company that's lining that up. Yours truly will be doing commentary this Saturday during Players Tour Online 3. I get a 4-hour shift from 10 p.m. until 2 a.m. Saturday night. And I just want to clear the air so people know that this wasn't a reaction to all the negativity to the pictures and the ads they put up. This was actually in discussion. I'd have to go back and look at my notes. It was either Wednesday or Thursday that I got first mentioned to me last week. So we were already talking about it going into the weekend. It was just coincidental that everything got finished over the weekend, you know, as far as the negotiation. And then, of course, everybody was already negative on everything. So it just looks bad, you know, but
no, it's something full save us. Y2J, we got to get the Quan Watson in here. He'll fix it. He'll make it.
Yeah. But no. Like, so I get it. Like, I get how it looks. I just want to clear the air on that. So people know I'm not just taking the gig just because, like, oh, they went and found a black guy who was free and could talk on a mic. Okay. So whatever. Like, no, this is something we've talked a few days about. So it was up to that point. So it's fine. And again, I don't mind the late shift. It's not like, hey, let's put the black guy on after hours. It's like these tournaments are happening overnight. So depending on what time zone you're in, it's just going to look weird, you know? But it works for me.
You have a whole leisure suit and a thing of Cavassier. I expected to be.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. While we're talking about this, like, one thing I think hurts commentary for Magic, and I went and reviewed some of the commentary that, like, me and Cedric and me and Corey did, is I think for whatever reason, and I don't know if this has been a mandate or whatever, because it hasn't been told to me, that the Magic commentators seem to feel that, like, you have to hold to this, like, super professional structure. Like, that you can't joke with the chat very much, or you can't show enough of your personality. Like, truthfully, I think that's the reason Riley Knight stands out so much, is Riley uses every silly phrase, colloquialism, weird Australian sayings, you know, whatever, and he's just being a goofy person sometimes. But it stands out because everybody else is just being so vanilla? I don't know, plain? Like, I don't know the best word. Structured, maybe? Like, because for me, like, especially being overnight, right? Anybody watching from the U.S. is probably going to be late night, being tired, because it's specific time. So, yeah, I'm probably going to talk about different decks, or if I happen to know one of the people. Or if somebody's playing Reclamation, I'm going to be rooting for the other player to just beat the Reclamation deck, or whatever it is, right? Just being real, like I would be on my stream and just having fun with the chat, because that's what you should be doing. Hell, honestly, I told my chat what I'm probably going to do is I'm going to bust out good old JR-isms at some point during the stream, which I'm going to have fun with that. Like, I'm just saying, like, there's some things you can do to have fun with it, and I think could be enjoyable. So we'll see how it goes, or if they'll have me back after I'm done. I don't know. Like, we'll find out. Some things, I'm not saying I'm going to push the envelope real hard, but, you know, I'm probably just not going to be the norm. And that's okay. I think we need some of that out there. And honestly, I think it's okay. And here's the thing. When I say, like, rooting against the deck or rooting against the bad guy, I'm not saying I'm trying to, like, turn somebody into a villain. I want that to be clear. But it's like, you can jokingly play with the chat. I mean, hell, we did that during the Battle Against Racism tournament. I think it ended up being, like, a Reclamation deck against a Jund Sacrifice deck or something. And I was like, man, I don't like each of these decks. So I think at one point I asked the chat, like, who should I be rooting for in this matchup? You know, like something like that, right? I'm not vilifying either person for playing the deck they're playing. I'm just making light that we know people don't like those decks. And that's okay. I think we need to be able to have those conversations on stream and make it more fun.
I mean, if you can't talk about, you know, the deck that everybody is tired of, it's like, why are we here? Because to me, it's not fun if you talk about things like in some kind of vacuum where we hadn't seen the other 75 matches with all the same decks. It's just bizarre to ignore things like that.
Yep. But like I said, on that point, if y'all would like to support me and make Wizards feel better about having me on their program, or I don't know, just make me look good because I brought extra people in. 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Pacific time this Saturday night, I will be doing commentary for Players Tour Online 3. And moving forward, one of the things we want to talk about a little bit is just kind of the reactions we're seeing through the Magic community to all the recent efforts going on. You know, lots of different efforts are happening, lots of different charity things. We're starting to see people reach out to do collaborative projects. And, you know, as much as we talk about things that are bad and things that are problematic, we also want to talk about things that are positive and people doing the right things too. And maybe some of it is, hey, you know, we're trying to identify the villains, but why don't we also identify the allies so we can properly support them too? So here, you know, there's some things like you can't really ignore it. Like if you were on Twitter in the last 72 hours, there were some things going on with the professor, you know, where people were saying, well, how many people of color have you ever had on your show? How many black people have you had on your show or on your channel? And that conversation felt like it went a lot of different ways for people. But it was interesting to see how many people just defended it and said, well, I don't care, you know? And to be fair, there were also some black people who came out and defended that. But, you know, the professor put out a statement saying, like, you know, hey, he realizes it's a thing he's had oversight on, and he's not really had people of color on there represented, so he's going to try to make that more prominent in the future. Good on him.
Yeah, and I never, not that I know him at all, like, I didn't get the feeling it was anything that was prejudice or malice. It's just something that, until now, hadn't probably occurred to him. Which, yeah, and again, not to say that it's not, you know, part of the problem, because it is, but this comes back, you know, we're looking at what you do going forward.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like I'm saying, you know, for me, I think me mentally, I've marked, I guess, June 1st as my, like, separating point. It's like everything before that, I am willing to accept that, like, we knew all of society was effed up. And all being a generalization, but yes, a lot of things were messed up. There was a lot of bad practices at a lot of places we shop, that we work, that we supported, whatever. Everybody came out, made these statements. Everybody understands from the protests what's going on and how bad of a problem these things are. So now we're looking at what are the actions you're taking going forward. So, you know, like I said, if we get to, I don't know, September, and the professor's followed up on what he said, and he's had a couple of different guests from different backgrounds, then, like, cool. Good for him, right? Nothing wrong with that. That's what you want. Now, if he hasn't, then we look back and say, hey, remember 3 months ago when you said this thing? Well, now we get to hold him accountable for it. And again, this comes back to this trust thing that I was talking about at the beginning of the show, right? It's a hard thing to understand, like, who's giving you lip service and who's actually somebody you can trust and is actually putting weight behind their words and means what they're saying. And unfortunately, they can only show that through their actions. So for me personally, again, I'm saying I'm willing to let that person play out things a little bit, because obviously, especially when you're doing higher production shows and whatever, that takes time. Some of them you have to find a way to get each person scheduled together or meet up in a place or whatever, right? Things you can do to get your show filmed.
And we know from experience now how hard that is.
Yeah, for sure.
Even when both parties want to put a show together, it's, you know, we all got 15 different projects going at any given time.
Yeah, so again, like I said, I'm willing to give it a couple months. But after that, all these people that are giving us a lip service, at some point you gotta say, okay, cool, when are you going to take action on that? The other that made a little bit of news was also Evan Irwin. To put it, paraphrase it, he basically made a post saying he doesn't care about all the background in Kamigawa. He just wants more ninjas. And that's one of those ones that, like, was it specifically malicious? Probably not. But man, was it tone deaf.
Yeah.
With the whole, like, social climate right now.
And then when he issued his apology, he misspelled the word Japanese. It just is a layer on layer of, like, he's obviously trying.
And yeah.
And it's not going well.
And if I remember correctly, somebody posted in that thread that they had helped him with it and they had rewrote a line and they had misspelled it. And I guess neither of them caught it before he posted it. I don't know what you make of that, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think either one of these dudes were being malicious in their intent. I'm not saying either of them are bad people. I'm just saying, okay, cool. It's been pointed out. You've made a statement now. So let's just see how well things go forward and see if you act on it. Now, that being said, I wanted to at least give props to some other people that are doing some good work in trying to move things forward to normalize people of color and blacks in the Magic communities and gaming communities in general, for that matter. But there's somebody, his name is Paul Barony. He goes by 22 Bears, spelled out 2, T-W-O-T-W-O-B-E-R-Z, on Twitter. Feel free to follow him. He's a fun follow. But this morning, he just made a post. He's starting a Magic art fundraiser that they're going to sell and auction off some art, and they're going to donate all the money to Black Lives Matters. So that's pretty cool. I've been in some private discussions with CGB, Covert Go Blue, on YouTube. If you don't know him, dude's crushing it. He's put up a video every day, I think, for something like 450 days or something, which is insane record to be doing, but hey, he's doing it. Well, one, let me say this about CGB first off. Like, he's a person, like, he likes to joke around on his channel and, you know, play the role of the villain or whatever. But as far as I know, he's a nice dude. We had a good conversation and some private messages. He came through and donated $1,000 to the Battle Against Racism tournament a couple weeks ago. Like, dude is just, so far, stand-up guy, super nice. There's some things I can't talk about yet, but he is planning to help another Black creator with some stuff. So that's a thing that's being worked on. And I talked to him about possibly doing a collaborative thing. Maybe we're going to do a Deck Doctor segment or something. He has a stream, I think, every Thursday where he does that. So I might come on with him and work with him on that. Pleasant Kenobi, he's also been vocal. And we've talked about some stuff with him. There's another guy, Justin Parnell, that has reached out and has asked me to be on his show. So there's a lot of people out there doing good things. There's a lot of people out there trying, you know, and we should also be promoting those people back and supporting their efforts. Because if they're using their voice to lift up other people and to further diversify our communities, then helping them out helps us out. And hell, if nothing else, let's reward them for their efforts. Yeah, sure, some people are going to say, well, they should have been doing it anyway. You know what? But they are now. So let's be fair to them, you know? And then there's other stuff that's still in the works, too, that I can't talk about just yet, but I will tell you, there's a couple of bigger companies in the video game industry that are looking at some Magic stuff right now. I've had talks with a couple of them.
Awesome.
So there's, and they are particularly wanting people of color and in particular Black people involved. So I don't know. Are things changing permanently? I have no idea. But at least there's efforts being made and people are trying. And that's all I can really say right now. Like, we have to acknowledge at least what's happening in the moment.
Almost every game I've logged into over the past 2 weeks has done at least something in terms of putting out what their stance is on Black Lives Matter. the ones that haven't are obviously under a lot of pressure. And as I'm sure some of you saw, Riot CEO had to step down because he was one of the many CEOs that went full racist while this was going on.
Man.
I knew when I saw Riot and George Floyd in the same headline, just from what has been happening at Riot over the past several, I guess you can say like a couple of years at this point, I already knew it wasn't going to be good, and they did
well. Nothing. They need it anyway. They have so much toxicity in their community, and that's the thing that comes up more than anything associated with Riot.
Yeah.
And I've at least seen just yesterday, I think I read an article that they're actually finally starting to crack down on some of that.
Yeah, and because it's gone unchecked for so long, it's going to take years to get it to a point where it's even close to acceptable.
Oh, if I remember right, what brought it to their attention basically is some of their streamers of their games were basically saying, look, you have this other person out here promoting your game, and they're on one of your major teams, and they're just letting this crap run rampant. They're not denouncing it. They're supporting it. Like, you should probably get rid of that person. And apparently a couple of them at least got put on a short-term ban. So, I mean, I guess they're going straight for the head.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the plan, right? You go straight to the head. Take out the person who all these people that have these attitudes are admiring or idolizing. Just take them out. And just say, hey, look, if you're going to be a representative of our game, you're going to be in our league, you know, we're going to be paying you prize money, putting your face on things. You got to uphold some standards. If you don't, go find your paycheck somewhere else. And they either get with the program or they don't.
We saw, he was just within the past few hours, Filipino champ, fighting game player, made ridiculous post and is quickly losing all his career and endorsements, as I gotta say should happen, because it was bad. We've discussed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I won't, you know, go, the details are, if you look at any website that covers video games, the details are out there. He went, you know, he can't even hide behind it's just a joke, because it was really bad and super tone deaf. So his career, at least in the short term, is over.
Yeah, that's a rough one. That's a rough one. I'm gonna have to go read that one. I wasn't aware of that. So yeah. Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
And he's one of those guys. We've talked about people that have a certain persona on their stream or when they game. And yeah, he acts like a pro wrestler where he goes full heel, but as I mentioned on Twitter, it doesn't seem like it's an act. This is just a rapid, crazy. And it's also unfortunate to see a person of color that could be doing so much good for the community to go down in flames like this.
Well, you know, they're just those people, man. Every community. One of the things, too, I wanted to bring up just for a quick sec before we get into the dinner table talk segment is we're going to need some artists. Particularly, I'm going to need some artists. I'm looking at getting some new emotes made as, again, traffic's kind of picking up in a few things, and I'm already getting somebody to do some new overlays and stuff for me on my stream. So if you're an artist in our community that would like to help out with making some emotes for my channel, drop me a line. Shoot me a message on Twitter. Shoot me a DM. Find me on Facebook. Shoot me a message there. And we can talk. We can negotiate, figure out what you want for them or whatever. Just want to do something a little different. And hopefully, we can find somebody. The other is, we also need a cover artist to do a new logo and or cover for our podcast. The first one we got, we just did. I had a friend knock it out real quick. Just something so we had a thing, because we had no idea if people were going to be interested in the show or not. And at that stage, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go spend like, you know, $100 on some nice artwork or something, blah, 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 and not have anybody even care about the show, and then we're done in 6 weeks, you know?
Because we both knew that was a possibility.
Oh, yeah, it's a real possibility. But now, obviously, we're 37 episodes in. people are downloading it, getting lots of attention. So it's like, okay, let's buy new furniture for the house. You know, it's kind of what this is.
Well, we're in the process of buying a house right now. Don't get me started. That'll be for a future podcast.
Yeah, we can talk about that another time. But yeah, just one of those things. If you're an artist and you are good at either making emotes for Twitch, or you feel like you can do good logo or cover art for things, that maybe you have an idea for what you would do for us, reach out to me and let me know. And obviously, we will pay for it. I'm not asking for anything for free. I know everybody's artwork and time, you know, costs something.
And now I got a full son of an English teacher. Is it emote or emote? I legitimately don't know. I know what I say, but I don't know which one is right.
I always say emote, I think. I don't know. I think I say it both ways at different times. Weird. I don't know where I put the... Maybe I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. I don't know.
Hey, let us know in as you comment on the podcast.
Yeah. But I would like it to be from either a fan of the show or a listener of the show first. So please, I mean, I know you may be trying to help, but, you know, going and finding your friend who's an artist to come do a thing for us, I kind of want that as a second option. I would like whatever we get to come from within our community or within our listener base or something first. And then if we can't find somebody, then I will reach out and we can check other sources, I guess. That also brings me another thing. I'm glad you mentioned that a second ago. All of you that are downloading the show, regardless of what app or website you're using, please remember to rate the show and remember to leave a comment, because that also helps us get boosted up when people are looking for a show related to gaming or social issues or whatever. So if it gets highly rated, or it just gets a lot of ratings and gets a lot of comments, it definitely boosts us up in search engines with these different pod apps. So please do that. I saw we've obviously got a lot of downloads coming in now, so let's see if we can get some ratings up as well, or follows or whatever else you can do on your app to just show interactions with our show, because that's what matters for a lot of these different websites. Something I think people forget about sometimes. I know it even skips my mind sometimes. But it's time to break out some dishes. One of the things, and this comes from one of our patrons who's in our Discord, they were concerned and they asked, you know, what can they do to support their local game stores? Especially right now, right? Because we're still not, well, not shopping normally at our game stores. We're obviously not playing there regularly. So what can they do to support them? And another thing I kind of want to attach to that is also talk a little bit about things we think we might be able to do to kind of normalize things and make things comfortable once we get back to playing face-to-face games. Because you and I both talked and said, you know, we know things are not going to look the same or feel the same when we all start going back to stores and playing our weekly tournaments again. It'd be kind of hard for them to at this point.
Yeah. He would be at the door with a thermometer if he's still on this store right now.
Dude, I would be, dude, for real. I ain't letting anybody in. I get it. If you got any type of possibility of being sick. But yeah, have you shopped with any stores recently?
I have not. And I mean, I'm behind on my comic books and want to get in there real bad, but I just have, we've been doing just, especially looking at Texas numbers, we've been doing kind of the bare minimum shopping. And also our mother-in-law is staying with us for a while. So again, just try to be as careful as we can.
That makes sense. Yeah. And I was just curious because, you know, like you've mentioned, you're down in Texas where more businesses are open. So I wasn't really sure. Yeah. How that's worked out for you. Locally, I've only been to one store. And I'm one of those people that, because we have so many short stores in like a 30-minute radius of me, like I'll just frequent different stores on a whim, you know, but obviously in the last I don't know how long I've been staying at home, 3.5, 4 months. I don't know. It's been a while. But since we've kind of entered this isolation phase, I've only really been to my local store once, and I didn't even go inside. I ordered online. They set it outside. They have a table set up. When you pull up, you call them. They set your bag out on a table. They wait inside behind the glass. You check your bag, make sure everything's there. I give them a thumbs up. They give me a thumbs up. And then I came home with my stuff. Which, you know, it's a pretty safe way to do some shopping. Nothing wrong with that. But as far as supporting your stores, one of the things I would say you can do is, one, if they make posts or share things on social, be sure to share those, retweet those. Help them keep getting exposure during this time. Because it's going to be very easy for your local store to kind of leave top of mind for people. Because right now we're thinking about, okay, do I have food at the house? Do I have, I don't know, gloves and cleaning supplies? Or do I have all these other things, right? You're not really think. You might think about your game store once you get to Thursday or Friday afternoon or evening, but it's not the thing that's on top of people's minds. So help them share that stuff. Yeah. Some stores, oh, do you have something there?
I was going to say, you know, if they have a Facebook group, a Discord, any kind of social media things, because I know one of the things I miss is sitting around with my friends for hours, you know, eating fatty food and arguing about whether the Hulk could beat Superman. So if you can have that debate, you know, online and still keep your favorite store's public profile out there, that's also a way to do it.
Yeah, that's a good way to build community, too, with other players or other customers that you may not have seen.
Because so, more than anything, I mean, it's, as I mentioned numerous times, I'm not some kind of pro player. More than the cards, I miss just, you know, sitting down and being able to talk about Kid Hulk beat Superman. What kind of pull-ups would Jace wear? You know, just random things for hours.
Yeah, and I think those are good, just fun, silly conversations that if you're participating in any of their social groups, that's a good way to build new connections, right? And as we talk about getting back to normal and getting back to stores, I think building those connections with people you may not have previously can make things more comfortable when you start going back to the store, because people are already used to talking to each other, used to having those conversations. Like, you'll have points of reference to even talk about. So it won't be so awkward opening conversations with people because you already have a point to start from. I would say maybe also if you have a little extra money, and I'm not saying a lot, you know, maybe it's $15 here or there. You know, you get to the end of the month and you have some money left in your budget. Maybe buy a $20 gift card online from your local store. And then that way they're still making a little cash, help them pay a bill or two. And you just have $20 when you go in, store credit at that point. You know, that could help them out a lot. I mean, if they had even 10 or 12 people do that every month, that's probably a phone bill and their internet bill. You know, so it helps them out with something. So that would be good.
And Daquan, we've also talked about how, you know, like your card store or comic shop guy is almost kind of like the local bartender. So just remember to ask your local owner how they're doing, you know, because I think I'm guilty of it too. We have all, I won't say we have all, but I say a lot of people have treated our local business owner as if they're our bartender, unloaded any number of problems. Just ask them if they're okay. You know, just ask them how they're doing.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way to build that bond with them too. I would also say if you do order something, especially if it's one of your stores that's still trying to keep a couple of people employed, consider leaving a small tip. I mean, it's not something we really do a lot with our hobby shopping or game store shopping. But yeah, you know, and not a lot. I'm even saying it has to be a full 15% or whatever. Maybe you just leave like $2 or $3, right? But every little bit right now could be a big deal for them. Especially if they don't have, like, you know, we've talked about it before. Some stores are losing, in some cases, 80% of their foot traffic right now.
Yeah.
And if they don't already have an online store or have an online presence, they could be behind the eight ball. You know, they may or may not be opening up again here in a couple months. So every little bit can make a difference. And then I would say if you're going to buy singles, or supplies, or, you know, you're thinking about buying a booster box or whatever, just prioritize your local game store first, especially right now. Because the truth is, even if you're ordering online from the places that have good deals, some of them aren't shipping quickly anyway. They don't have enough people there to get stuff out on time. Hell, I ordered something from Star City because I had a bunch of credit. So I got some Ikoria cards. And I think they took a month to get to me because they didn't have a full crew in there.
Yeah.
You know, and they're rotating people. So they got to it when they could get to it. And then it got to me. So, and now granted, I did that because I already had store credit with them. But if I was just going to pay for it, I'd just go get it local. Even if it cost you $15 more, $20 more for your booster box or whatever, it's going to be faster. You can just pick it up, and the store in your backyard is still going to be there 2 or 3 months from now.
And if you're fortunate enough to be getting to play somewhere, because I know geography matters with this, a lot of people are in places where it really, you know, the numbers were never that bad. Some, you know, kind of out of the way areas. Or if you're, you know, if you've got some kind of online setup with your store or with somebody else where you're getting to just play casually, please be appreciative. Be not always try to make people have a good play experience, but especially now when we're all stressed and we're all, you know, we're all of this together. If I throw out more cliches.
Yeah, I think if anything, the one thing I think what we're both saying in different words is just interact with your local store and your local community in a way that's considerate right now. They're going to be going through a hard time financially. You know, they're making some tough decisions. They're trying to keep their people employed. They're probably trying to figure out how they're going to keep ordering the latest things so they have stuff that people want to buy. Probably working out stuff with their distributors to make sure their old bills get paid. You know, other players are probably stressed, whether it's from just social pressures, from their jobs, maybe not being there. Hell, I don't know. Maybe they were in an area where protests were all over the place and they've been busy the whole time. You know, everybody's kind of got something right now. So just keep that in mind. I think that's really it, is really think about supporting the places that have been good to you, supporting the places that you'd like to be around once all this isolation's over, so you have a place to shop and a place to hang out, and keep building those connections with them. Because, you know, they may not pay off in 2 months, but when you get 6 months, 12 months down the road, I think you and your fellow shoppers, other players, and your stores will be very appreciative of that if everybody kind of gets on that same wagon together. But yeah, dude, I think on that note, we're going to wrap things up. We're here at about the hour mark. So why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social?
Okay, I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We have a family channel also that is Alan's Ever After. That is on, that's our family YouTube channel. Also,
go ahead.
I was going to say, do you know roughly when this is going to be out? Because if so, I've got a thing to
probably promote Thursday morning. So,
okay, so
if not Wednesday night.
Okay, so yeah, if we hit that, then I'll mention it, and if not, we can just cut it. On Friday, which is Juneteenth, and if you don't know what that is, please stop by my Twitch stream. I'll happily, you know, we'll talk about that. I'm going to be doing Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry, which is actually, it was an expansion for Assassin's Creed Black Flag, but because of the subject matter, they made it where you can download it as a standalone game. And the assassin, the main character in that DLC, is a former slave. So it's a different thing for the franchise, to put it mildly.
Well, that's cool.
That's what we're going to be doing for Juneteenth.
Yeah, that'll be fun. You can find me on most social platforms under Power Dragon, PowerDragn. And usually you can find me streaming on Twitch on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. You can find something from me just about every day on YouTube. As a matter of fact, if you go to my YouTube channel, just search Power Dragon, I am doing a giveaway right now, and I will give you one hint to help you with the giveaway. Watch the entire video. It's only 6 minutes-ish, but there's something in there you're going to want to know to be properly eligible. I will say that. The rest is for you to figure out. Go see the video. I have 6 packages of things winners will get to pick from. From like rare items that not that many people own, to just cool collectible cards, to just all kinds of different things. So stop by, check it out, get your free stuff. But as usual, I want to say wherever you are listening from, whenever you are listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. If you have a chance, please check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook at Color of Magic. We're also over on Twitter and Twitch at Color of MTG. And we have a website you can check out, colorofmtg.com. Please share our episode with your friends and help us grow our base. As always, every little bit helps, and we appreciate your support.